Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible, there are over 100 verses in the Old Testament and New Testament that deal with the subject of temptation. And let me define temptation for you tonight. It is that temptation, or a solicitation, I should say, or petition, or request to do evil. It is a solicitation, a petition, a request to do evil. Or I can simplify it this way. It is that request to get you to disobey God. And that is what evil is. It is disobeying God. In fact, that is what sin is. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3. If we're going to understand what it is to be tempted to sin, we need to know what sin is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. So when we sin, it is breaking the law of God. It is breaking the word of God. In fact, sin is rebellion. Sin is saying, I'm going to do what I want, not what God wants. Sin is saying, here's what God says, but I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now realize, sin is not just an action, it is also an attitude. It is a thought. It is a disposition. When we go against the word and the will of God. So we are solicited, we are petitioned, we are requested to rebel against God, to disobey God. First person to give in to this temptation was Satan. First human being to give in to this temptation, the one through which sin goes into the human race, was Adam. Adam gave into it, Adam and Eve. Eve actually was the one who disobeyed and gave to Adam, her husband, to disobey God. But when you look at the Word of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says sin entered the human race through Adam. So us men, as the representation of the human race, are blamed for sin entering into the human race. I want to begin tonight with looking at some of the basics of temptation. Some of those foundation issues, some of those foundation things that we need to understand about temptation if we are going to overcome temptation. And I'm going to give you five tonight. They're pretty simple. Number one, temptation is common to man. Temptation is common to man. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12. Actually, let's go back to verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Temptation. You know, we really need to have a proper theological, biblical understanding of the issue of sin and temptation. And our view needs to be founded in the Word of God, not on anything else, but in the Word of God. We need to see what the Bible says about temptation from the Word. People don't always do that. A very famous preacher in our day and age, you may have heard of him, is a guy by the name of Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley is a pastor of a large southern church, and he said these five things about temptation. Listen to them. Don't write them down. Just listen. Temptation itself is sin. We fall into temptation. God is disappointed and displeased when we are tempted. To be strongly tempted means we are guilty as if we actually committed sin. We overcome all temptation by separation from it. When I am spiritually mature, I will no longer be harassed by temptation. I want you to know tonight that just about everything he said here is wrong. Just about everything he said here does not square with the Word of God. And much of what he said here is dealt with in these verses, especially verse 13. It says here that temptation is common to man. The word common to man is one word in the original language, and it means human-like. That temptation is human-like, pertaining to what is common to man. A word that means belonging to humanity. So temptation belongs to humanity. There's an old saying that says to err is human. What this verse says is to be tempted is human. Temptation is common to all of us. You know, sometimes you get into a group and you hear different people talk. And as they talk to one another, you know, someone will say something about their life or say something about Christianity, and someone else will pipe up and they'll say, "I thought I was the only one. I didn't think anybody else dealt with this. I thought I was the only one." I want you to know that we are all tempted. Every one of us. Every one of us deals with temptation in life. Temptation is common to all of us, and I want you to know tonight, if you are tempted by sin, you're not alone. You're not all by yourself. Temptation is common to humans. Temptation is common to us humans. So as long as we are in this world, we will face temptation. I want you to know tonight, temptation itself is not sin. And God is not disappointed and God is not displeased when we are tempted. And when we are spiritually mature, I want you to know you will still be harassed by temptation. Now, what may tempt you may be different than what tempts me. And what tempts me may be different than what tempts you. You know, we may sit in front of Krispy Kreme donuts and sit in our car, and you may look at it and say, "Ee," and I'm going to look at it and say, "Mmm." I mean, so you know, what tempts us may be different. Those sinful impulses, those sinful things that might really get your attention might be different than what gets my attention. But we need to understand from this verse, we are all tempted. And it does not matter how spiritual you get, you will be tempted by sin. Now, as you get more spiritual, you may be better able to say no to temptation. You may be better able to resist temptation, but we are all tempted by sin. And in this world, we will never get to the point where we are no longer tempted by sin. It is common to all of us. There is no one who is exempt. There is no point of spirituality where we will reach that we will no longer be tempted. In fact, turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. So someone's caught by sin, you know, they've given in to temptation. The spiritually mature goes and confronts their sin to kind of help them to restore them. But we're told here, watch, you who are spiritual, because you may be tempted too. None of us are any different than anyone else. We cut ourselves and we all bleed red. In fact, I saw an example of that this afternoon. We went home to eat dinner, and I was in sitting in front of the boob tube, you know, letting my mind just sparse out. And all of a sudden, I hear, ow! And I go running in the kitchen, and Connie just about sliced the tip of her finger off, cutting chicken. And there's just blood squirting. And so, you know, we all bleed red. None of us are going to reach some point of spirituality where we get beyond the ability to be tempted. As I said, one who is spiritual may better be able to resist it, but we will all be tempted. Let me give you some examples. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and you don't need to turn there, I'm going to tell you, and you'll know the story. Genesis chapter 6, we see God looking at mankind. He said, mankind is sinful, so sinful, I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth, except for one guy, Noah. He said Noah is a righteous man, and he was going to save Noah and his family because Noah was righteous. And then we read after the flood, Noah goes and gets drunk. And the end result of all that happened there, it's debatable what happens in the Genesis chapter 9, but the end result is one whole line of Noah's race is cursed by God. We think of David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. If you look at David when he was young, I mean, David was absolutely committed to God. Then David becomes king, and what does he do? He commits sin. Sins with Bathsheba. And that was not only David's, not the only sin that David committed. There were other great sins in David's life, but here was a guy, you know, who was, you look at his life, and then he gave in to sin. In Proverbs chapter 7, where it talks about adultery, and it says, speaking of the prostitute, that a mighty throng had given in to her. One of them was Solomon. You know, the Bible speaks of Solomon being, you know, so wise and so smart, but he gave in to the prostitute. He gave in to immorality. He gave in to becoming disobedient to God so much so that when you look at the end of Solomon's life, God's punishment, God's judgment falls on the life of Solomon. And then you read about the Apostle Paul. Paul says that he beat his body into subjection so that after he had preached to the others, he might not become a castaway. I mean, you look at the life of Paul, a spiritual giant, someone who was spiritually mature, someone who loved God, but he said he constantly beat his body into subjection. So why? He wouldn't give in to temptation so that he would not sin and then become a castaway. So we need to understand that we are all tempted by sin. Temptation is common, and you do not need to beat yourself up if you have been tempted. It is part of this humanity. It is part of living in a sinful world. It is part of this world be so infected by sin that sin just constantly is being put in front of us and we are constantly being tempted to go the wrong way and to disobey God. So it's common to all of us. And if we want to overcome it, we need to turn to Christ and His strength and His power. And I'll talk more about that in weeks to come. Number two, temptation itself is not sin. Just said that, but I want to take you to some verses. Temptation is not sin. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to keep it real simple tonight because I think these are foundational things we need to understand. Temptation is not sin. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus was tempted just like us, but he was without sin, which means that temptation in itself is not sin. It becomes sin when I say yes. It becomes sin when I know this is what God says, but I'm over here and I want to go this way and God wants me to go that way. And I say no to God and I say yes to my own selfish sinfulness. So yes, Jesus was tempted just like us, but clearly it says in this verse he was without sin. Sin is only, or temptation is only a suggestion to rebel against God. It is that request to rebel against God. It only becomes sinfulness when we say okay, when we say yes, when we give in. So don't carry around guilt if you've been tempted. In fact, let me say it this way. I think the closer we get to God, the more you grow, the more spiritually mature you become, the more you are hit in the face with your own sinfulness. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed before you were a Christian, you did things wrong, and some things maybe you noticed, but other things, like, you didn't notice at all. Then you got saved, and all of a sudden you began noticing and saying to yourself, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. No, that was a wrong attitude. And now as you're growing, you're beginning to look in the mirror of God's Word, and you're beginning to see more and more in your life that's wrong. That is rebellion. That is sinfulness. And that's what should be happening in your life. You should be seeing in your life, because you're more and more seeing the Word of God, you're more and more understanding the Word of God, you're more and more seeing your life in the mirror of God's Word, and as you're doing that, you're seeing that you really are what Paul said of himself, wretched, pitiful, and a sinner. So I believe the closer we get to God, the more we see our own sinfulness, not the other way around. But temptation itself, because Jesus was tempted and did not sin, temptation itself is not sin. So when you are tempted, do not carry around guilt. Just make sure that you say no to temptation. And I'll be giving you and showing you how to do that. Well, thirdly, temptation has three sources. There are three sources in this world that are going to tempt us to sin, tempt us to rebel against God. And the first one's not the one you think. The first one is the one you see in the mirror itself. Turn with me in your Bible to James chapter 1. We looked at this as we went through the book of James. You know, we're always blaming the other guy. We're always trying to say it's that guy's fault. You know the guy I mean. We'll talk about him in a minute. We're always blaming him, or there are others we blame for our sinfulness. But really, when we look at temptation sources, we have to really begin looking at our own heart. It is our own selfishness. It is our own decision to disobey God. It is that which is in us, our own sinfulness, that causes us to head in the wrong direction. James chapter 1 and verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So I want you to know, more often than not, that solicitation to do evil comes from within. we saw these steps that are listed here. We're dragged away and enticed. That goes to desire, that goes to sin, and the end result is death. You know, the reality is that when we are tempted, especially those temptations that come from within, we begin thinking that if I do this, this will make me happy. If I do this, this will give me pleasure. One person said it this way, lust, for example, or sin itself gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be more happy if I follow it. The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make me happier. If I do this, I will be happier than if I obey God. In fact, many will say in our day and age, I am not going to turn to God for salvation because I will be much happier if I don't give my life over to God and I do what I want to do. So many want to find and want to blame Satan, want to look for him under every rock, but really often temptation's coming right from within our own heart. But there is that guy. And he is the second source of temptation, Satan himself. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 that Satan's like a roaring lion and he's going back and forth in the earth and he's looking for someone to devour, someone to destroy. We will be looking at Job this week. Catching up on what we missed last week, but we'll be looking at Job chapter 2 and again looking how Satan wanted to destroy Job. And that's really what Satan wants to do. So his desire is to get you to disobey God, get you to sin. And that's what we find here in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Let me just kind of throw this out. Sometimes we think temptation or the temptation from Satan's kind of like this. We see something that tempts us to go against God, we say no and it's over. It's done. But notice, Satan tempts Jesus, doesn't work, he comes right back, tempts him again, it doesn't work, he comes right back again and tempts him again. That's often the way it works in our life. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And when you put this together with Luke, Luke says the devil left him, but was looking for another opportunity to come back again. So, what is Satan's desire? What is his desire in our life? What's Satan trying to accomplish by tempting us to sin? Well, he's trying to get us to desert God's will. Clearly, God's will here for Jesus was not to do what Satan wanted him to do. In fact, Satan was trying to get him to do things before it was God's will. Satan here is trying to say to Jesus, why don't you do this instead of doing what your Father wants you to do? Jesus said his food was to do his Father's will. Satan is trying to get him to turn against that will, and that's what he wants to do in our lives. He's trying to get us to fulfill natural desires in a sinful way. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7:5. tries to get us to do those things that may be very natural, may be very real, but he tries to get us to fulfill them in a sinful way. So sometimes we'll hear people say, you know, well, this is only natural. This is only, you know, normal. Well, it may be natural, it may be a normal thing, but God has a set pattern for fulfilling those things in our life. Satan wants to get us to do it in a sinful way. He's trying to get us to give up on the circumstances of life. And that's one of his temptations, simply to get us to give up. And we see that in the life of Job, and we see that in our lives. You know, when you get sick and you don't feel good, when you got things going on in your life, and, you know, Satan's desire is to say, you know, why bother getting out of bed today? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? And above all these things, Satan is trying to trick us. He's trying to trick us. You know, we read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Satan's trying to deceive, he's trying to trick. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible makes very clear that when Eve was tempted to sin, that she was tricked by Satan. She was deceived. If you look at your life, what you need to say to yourself is this. God's desire, God's will for my life is in this book. If something's going on in my life that contradicts this book, it's not from God. It is sinful and it is wrong. This is the foundation, this is the book which God has given us to live our lives by. And anytime you go and you look at life, you look at your own life, you look at someone else's life, you look at what you're going to do, and you say, well, you know, this really is okay. It's not a bad thing. You have to go back to the Word of God and say, all right, what does God say about it? That's how we find out whether it's sinful or not. That's how we find out whether it is a good thing or a bad thing. And it's not how we feel about it. It's not how we think about it. The foundation for morality, the foundation for ethics is not found in me. And it's not found in you. It is found in what God has said, in the Word of God. There's another source of temptation. It's not just ourselves, it's not just Satan, but it's also the world. This world wants us to disobey God. This world and all that is part of this world goes against the Word of God. I want to give you an example. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Great. I think this is one of the best examples in the Word of God of how this world tempts us to sin. And it's a pretty simple example. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. That's the world. The world is all those who live in this world. All those who are not following God. It is this world that comes to us and says, look, why don't you join us? Why don't you come with us? And you say, I don't want to do that. Oh, come on, it'll be okay. But I don't want to do that. Oh, come on, it'll be okay. Listen, my son, if sinners entice you, and that's what he says in verse 8, it's a father talking to his son. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. I want you to notice all the things they're saying is, look, if you do this, man, it's going to be great. If you do this, you're going to be happy. If you do this, man, this thing, it's just going to be awesome. Verse 15, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot in their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless is spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. So one source is this world itself. It's sinners in this world who say, come on, let's do this. And the this goes against God's word. And it's not just this, but it's this whole world system. I mean, if you look at this world system just goes against the word of God. And the world comes along and says, join us. The world comes along and says, love us. The world comes along and says, fit in with us. The world comes along and says, don't go with those wackos. Don't go with those nuts. Don't go with those fanatics. You know what? It's just not scientific. Join us. So temptation can come from us from all different angles. It can come from within our own heart, come from Satan trying to get us to trick us, to get us to go against God's word, and it comes from this world in which we live. You see it all the time. You can be driving down the road and it's a billboard. You could be going through the book section in a bookstore and it's the books. You can be watching TV and it's the commercials. You can be watching a football game and it's all the junk that happens around it. There's just so much in this world that tries to pull us and tug us to get us to head in the wrong direction. Well, number four. Temptation often comes where we are weakest. Temptation often comes where we are weakest. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 4. Let me show you something here. I said a minute ago that your temptation may be different than mine, and my temptation may be different than yours. And one of the reasons for that is Satan is trying to hit us where we're weakest. Satan's trying to come into your life, and he's going to find that place in your life where he thinks he can get you to do the wrong thing. He's going to come in your life and he's going to try to look at ways in which he thinks he can get you, and the way he can get you might be different than the way he can get me. So here in Matthew chapter 4, I want you to notice this very first temptation that Satan comes to Jesus with. Verse 1 says, Jesus was led by the Spirit in the desert to be tempted. And then it says that Jesus was there and he's fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the longest I ever went on a fast was for a few days. And when I did that, I was in college, and I ran the elevator. That's what I did to get my way through school. And where I lived the first few years in college was in an old hotel, and they had converted that to dorms. And I would run the elevator up and down, and it was one of those old ones, not where you push the button, but where you had a control knob, and you had to stop it right at the level of the floor. Well, right at the outside of the elevator was the snack shop. And I want you to know, in that snack shop, they didn't make very good pizzas, but I spent an awful lot of money in there in my first semester at college, and I had to learn some lessons. So the kids would go down there in the snack shops. They would immediately go into the elevator and head up the steps. Well, all it seemed like when I was fasting that time I did it, that there was an awful lot of food getting in that elevator. And, I'm here fasting, and, day after day, the food's smelling better and better all the time. Jesus is fasting 40 days and nights, and what does Satan do? He comes and he offers him bread. Turn these bread. Turn the stone to bread. What's he doing? He's looking at that place in Jesus' life where the need was there, where Christ had been fasting, and he's going to do that same thing in our lives. He's often going to look where you are weakest. So he can find that weak point in your life and he can get you to do that which you know you shouldn't do, that which would go against the word of God. Let me give you some examples. If you have a great financial need, as you may have as we go through these great financial times, then the temptation of Satan in your life may come in the form of money. Satan may tempt you to take money under the table. Yeah, I talked to some people, and some people don't even know what that means, taking money under the table. It means to take money and not pay your taxes. You know, it means to go work a job and you're sneaking away from the government. You're not paying your taxes. And the Bible makes clear, God makes clear, we have a responsibility to pay our taxes. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like how much we have to pay. I think we pay far more than we should. But clearly, the Bible says we should pay them. So if you're having a financial need, that may be the form in which your temptation may come. If your need is emotional, maybe you're not getting along with your husband. I know, ladies, that would never happen because guys are so nice. But maybe you're not getting along with your husband. Or maybe, guys, you're not getting along with your wife. You're having a marital spat. You're going through a period of time where maybe you're not talking. Maybe you're just not getting along. Temptation may come in the form of someone from the opposite sex. All of a sudden, man, they listen to you like your spouse doesn't listen to you. They're tuned in with your emotions like your spouse isn't. You know, they really have an open heart for what's going on in your life like your spouse isn't. Satan is often going to come in our lives where we are weakest and try to weasel his way in to get us to disobey God. And I think we see that from this first temptation in Jesus' life. Let me give you one more tonight. Temptation can be overcome. Temptation can be overcome. Turn back with me to that very first verse we looked at as we looked at temptation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he would also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God's not going to give you a greater temptation. He's not going to allow a greater temptation come in your life that is beyond what you can bear. Romans chapter 6 makes very clear that us Christians have been set free from the power of sin. Neither temptation nor sin has power over your life. Don't ever say, I can't. You can say it may be hard. You can say it may be difficult. But I want you to know, whatever the temptation that is in your life, whatever the temptation that comes your way, God has given you the power and the ability to say no. The reality is often when we say we can't, we really mean we won't. We really mean I don't want to. We really mean I like this sin. We really mean I want my way, not God's way. God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but when we are tempted, God will be there to give us strength, to give us help, to give us the ability to say no. So, as I said at the beginning, the temptation itself is not sin. And when it comes your way, I want you to know, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have every bit of power and ability through Jesus Christ to say, forget it. To say, I am no longer going to let this rule my life. I am no longer going to give in to this sin. I'm no longer going to say yes to temptation. Temptation is not sin. And it also does not have the power to make us to do what it wants. We can say no. And it doesn't matter the source. It doesn't matter if it's coming within our own heart. It doesn't matter if it's Satan. It doesn't matter if it's the world. God has given every Christian the ability to say no. I think as we look out at today, Absolutely beautiful day, wasn't it? Just gorgeous. But I want you to know something about today. Every one of us here tonight are being tempted. Every one of us. Here's a temptation. When it is 74 degrees out, as it was on our deck this afternoon, because we have one of those thermometers that goes under the deck so you can kind of tell what the temperature is. In our backyard, it was 74 degrees. Can you imagine that? In March, it's 74 degrees. The temptation is to get every one of us to think, all right, it's summer. I want you to know it's not. I say it every year. My clock is this. Don't believe it's summer until it's the first day of trout season. Because I know those of you who have fish, you know the first day of trout season, you can run into all kind of weather. I mean, you could have a foot of snow. I mean, it can be freezing cold or it can be nice and sunny, but you can't tell anything until at least the first day of trout season. And then it may still, you know, be bad after that, but it's at least the first day of trout. When is the first day of trout season? It is the closest Saturday to April 15th. And this year, I believe it's April 17th. And I can't wait. I mean, I've been looking at my boat all winter long, and I can't wait to get out of there. But you are tempted right now to say, let's get all the short sleeve shirts, put away all the jackets. I mean, it's going to be great, and summer's here, and we're sprung. I want you to know, don't give in to that temptation. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the truth that it teaches. Help us, Father, to understand it. Help us, Lord, to live according to it. And I pray, Lord, as we fight our battles with temptation, that we might look to you for strength. May we might look to you for the ability to say no. And I pray, Lord, that we would do that very thing. I pray, Lord, that everyone who is here tonight would say no to temptation so that we may honor you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.